No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Corporate megastores are spending millions lobbying DC politicians on one-sided policies that send small businesses tumbling. They want to enact harmful credit card mandates that take resources away from your local credit union and community bank, leaving Main Street businesses with less access to credit, making it harder for your family to pay for everyday goods like gas and groceries. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McKusick. We're here for a short episode, which we don't do too much during the regular season, but we had something come up that really we thought deserved a little bit of attention. Here to discuss it with me is David Patrick. David, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Ken. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Always a pleasure to talk football with you, David. You've been on the show before, and we appreciate it. But let's talk about it, because the statement originally was something brought up by Dan Orlovsky that I want you to intro.
Yeah, so Orlovsky was quote-unquote looking at the tape and saw a trend about the Ravens' choices for rushing and their effectiveness. And so then he ran it over to his stat guys at ESPN. And then he communicated to everybody that the Ravens are 32nd in the league in rushing attempts on first and second down this year. Yet their yards per carry are very high, around 6 yards.
Okay, that's just to be clear, that's by running backs, they're 32nd. They would still have Jackson, you know, running attempts to go with that, and that their yards per carry by those running backs were at 6.0 on first and second down.
Right. And so it seems like he's implying if the Ravens simply run the ball more often on first and second down, we're going to have a much more effective offense.
And it's an interesting comment in a lot of ways, because it seemed like I don't want to cast too many aspersions here, but the main thing we're trying to do is basically say you need to work from first principles on this and try and find out why this might have occurred. I want to apologize also, because I do not do aggregation type analysis. At least that's not my goal on the show. I'm a first principles guy. I go to the tape directly. I count things directly. I create my own models, offensive line play, you know, opportunity set for quarterbacks, all of the things that I do with defense. The first principles thing, and they're of my own origin and models. I don't like to look at other people's models, except as occasionally a comparative to see how can I improve my own models for things. In Orlovsky's case, I think this is kind of a teaching moment in terms of what makes good analysis and how to do this. And so I'm not really trying to pick on Dan, because I think he's only a symptom of the issue. I think the ESPN people also may have kind of let him down, or maybe they gave him the information and they said, hey, I can come up with some reasons why this wouldn't be true, which we're about to do. But he didn't feel the need to put those forward, in the video he put out. Yeah. But did it appear to you from the clip from Orlovsky that he kind of had his narrative already built in terms of what he wanted, that he said, I'm not noticing Henry rushing the ball a lot on first down and second down. What can you give me on that? And that could, the ESPN analyst, for example, might have said, let's give Dan Orlovsky the best possible stat we can for why the Ravens have a very extreme non-use of running backs on first down.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, Dan Orlovsky, when you watch him do these panel discussions on national television, he will criticize other people and say, well, you obviously don't watch the tape. And he will talk about that he watches every play of every game of every season to inform his commentary, which is difficult to do. So hats off to him. I just think that he saw, hey, the Ravens aren't running much. And then before he delivered his message, he asked the stat guys, hey, is there anything to this? Heard that, and then put it forward without knowing the Ravens deeply enough or having enough analysis to really know what he was implying and whether or not it was true. And I think it rung hollow for both of us because we are laser focused on the Ravens.
I think, yeah, there's a laser focus on the Ravens. There's also some things Orlovsky, I think, should have known as a quarterback that come into this. But why don't we go through the reasons? It's a phenomenon, and it's true. The Ravens are, I think it's true. I haven't actually verified it, that they're 32nd in running back carries on first and second down, and the 6.0 yards per carry is very close to their 5.8 overall. So wouldn't surprise me if that's the case, which means they've run a little bit better on third down. No shock one way or the other. But let's talk about some reasons why that phenomenon might have occurred so far through four games for the 2025 Ravens.
Well, if I can sneak in on one thing that is kind of there but not there, and that's quarterback. So we have Lamar Jackson, which you have famously said, and I've always agreed with, that he raises all boats. Anyone who runs with him, he sucks defenders away from them, especially when you option, and so it makes the running back play better. Now, if that's not happening, or if he's been injured a little bit, which I think has been true for a couple of weeks where he's not quite as effective, or teams are not biting on that, you know, then it's not there. And so Derrick Henry is not going to be as effective. So that's one of the things that I'm seeing.
Okay, well, that's fair enough. And I think one of the things we've hit on this year is that the variance of results has been very great for the Ravens offense. They've had kind of a barbell of results that we've seen, a lot of really good runs and a lot of really lousy runs that have kept them behind the sticks and ended in a lot of 3, 4, and 5 play drives. Completely un-Ravens-like to have this variance of result from the run game in particular. The 2019 Ravens were built very much like pretty much every team the Ravens have faced this year seems to be, particularly the Lions I'll pick out, as being teams that would go for it on fourth down because they had great confidence in being able to make it. That creates a lot of additional plays. They've won snap count decisively in those years. Well, guess what? In 2025, that's completely reversed, and the variance of results is really one of the big reasons. But Henry and Hill have both had great runs. They both have good YPC averages, and both of them have terrible success rates this year. So Lamar Jackson raising all boats, the statistics I've always provided for that in the past is that the success rate is much higher with Lamar Jackson. And virtually every running back who's ever played with him, that's been the case. So Derrick Henry, who'd been a good running back, did not have a great success rate with Tennessee, but he was up to 58.8% last year, which is the third highest ever in 275 plus carries, I believe it was. I might be slightly off on the number of carries that I said is the limit, but it's the third highest ever. If I may,
just a quick aside, yeah. It reminds me of Randy Moss. Randy Moss, great player, a little bit mediocre at a time with the Raiders. Then he comes plays with, you know, peak Tom Brady. And what does he do? 20 plus touchdowns. Looks like he's completely unstoppable. I feel like that was the level of Derrick Henry with Lamar Jackson last year.
Well, fair enough. I mean, Lamar certainly had the read option working extremely well with Lamar last year. But let me get down to the success rate thing. This is what I really want to get to. 58.8% in 2024, down to 44.9% this year. Now, his yards per carry isn't down, not appreciably. It might have been 5.9 last year. It's 5.8 this year. But that success rate speaks to the barbelling of results that the Ravens have had. Hill has a success rate of only 25% this year. It's only 2 out of 8, by the way. It's not a whole lot of carries in the denominator there, but it's down from 44.7% last year, and that's despite 8.6 yards per carry. Now, this disincents a play caller from making run calls when they don't have the same confidence in the success. Now, you could blame it on a lot of people. It might be a case of the offensive line. It might be a case of Lamar is a little bit hurt. It might be a case of the running back play has not really been as good as some ways. And obviously, one of the big turnover problems for the Ravens has been the fumbles by Henry. He's lost 2 of his 3. That is another reason why the variance of result here is disincenting run calls. So this is one of five reasons. Honestly, that one would probably be number three on my list of importance. If I'm just to jump in, I'm going to go to my next one, which is the Ravens have fewer total offensive snaps. So guess what? When you have 15% fewer offensive plays than the median of the entire league, that's going to affect the number, and they're going by absolute number, of running back carries you're going to get. So they've had 210 offensive plays this year compared to the median in the NFL, which is 247. And I forget if they're 31st or 32nd in the league in offensive plays, but they're way down there in terms of what's going on.
Yeah. And just to piggyback off of success rate, linking it back to why we wanted to make a little short on this is that I think success rate, when you look at it, takes away the point that Orlovsky was trying to make. If you give Henry or more runs to Henry, the Ravens are going to be way more successful. Well, if you increase the volume and your success rate does not improve, you're going to have a lot of three and outs. You're going to have a lot of stalled drives. It's not going to improve the efficiency of the offense. But kind of the other thing that we were talking about, partially why the success rate is down, is because opponents are stacking the box for sure. And they're daring the Ravens to throw. And some of that is that Lamar has the ability to check and pass. And so I think that it's not hurting teams enough, which is hard to say, because especially in the Bills game and the Browns game, we scored 40 points and that second pitch did work, but certainly not against Detroit or Kansas City.
I think this would be the second biggest point for me, was the opponent stacking the box. Is that, and Orlovsky, by the way, knows this as a quarterback, and probably if he's watched all the plays, he should probably have observed it at the line of scrimmage that Lamar's checking out.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops. Just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Out of base calls and going from run to pass a lot. It's sometimes hard to tell with Lamar, by the way, because they run everything out of shotgun. They don't really run very much out of center, run or pass. So that means that there is it's probably harder to tell than with a quarterback who's going under center, doesn't like the defense, checks at the line of scrimmage, drops into shotgun. That's much more obvious what they're trying to do. So I really don't want to beat on Dan Orlovsky for this, but I do want to say that as a quarterback, that's the kind of thing he should probably expect to happen. When they don't like the matchup at the line of scrimmage, that's the way it is. The Lions, the Browns, and the Chiefs, all three of those teams played very heavy boxes. In fact, the Lions play a ton of base defense, even against 11 personnel, which means the personnel in the game are huge, and they're daring you to beat their man coverage schemes a lot of the time. This was a case where, you know, the only way to treat a defense like that is to try and pass the ball and beat them that way. And the opponent stacking the box is the second biggest reason after the probably the raw number of plays that I would point to.
Totally agree. And, you know, I've been thinking about it just while we've been conversing about this, and it seems like Dan Orlovsky is not the only quarterback who does analysis who is seeing this the same way. Because when I was watching the Chiefs game, I almost had to mute the TV listening to Tony Romo continuously beg for Derrick Henry to have more rushes. And then Derrick Henry would have a rush and the Chiefs would do exactly what you're saying, and it wouldn't be very effective consistently. And it's just, maybe there's something about that generation of quarterback. I'm not sure. I don't think they seem to understand.
I don't think it was too bad in Romo's case. I wasn't at least as bothered by it because Romo was thinking for multiple reasons. One of them being the Ravens need to get that game over with. They needed to get out of Kansas City and honestly feeding Henry or Hill the ball a few more times to help get that over with would have been fine.
Sure.
Particularly when they're down about 24 points, there just wasn't a reason to come back. The Ravens had conceded the game, and Romo even pointed it out that when they went for one instead of two,
correct,
to cut the lead to 17, they had obviously conceded the game in terms of the possibility of coming back. So it had happened before then, and once you're at that point, go ahead and run the football, get the game over with. And that's what we've seen in a lot of final drive action against the Ravens when they've had big leads by opposing teams.
Yeah, and probably another point that we were discussing about why is this happening to the Ravens is game script.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know, if it's a high scoring affair and your defense can't stop the other team, you're not going to run the ball. If you're behind by a lot, if it's a shootout, if it's 2-minute offense, if it's 4-minute offense, you can try and run the ball. And the couple of times we have, unfortunately, Derrick Henry has fumbled. Mm-hmm. So you kind of need to pass. So you're going to have less rushing attempts. So I just think that it wasn't a fully baked idea on Orlovsky's part this time.
The other thing, one of the other things is that the Ravens had been on the field a lot defensively. And I'm particularly talking about the Buffalo game at this point. And they really needed to do something different to beat what Buffalo was presenting them with defensively. And this goes back to teams stacking the box, I guess it's in that comment. But they really need to be aggressive and continue to pass the ball to try and sustain a drive. They weren't getting it done with the run. And again, you're absolutely right. They did try it in the last few minutes, and Henry fumbled the football in one of the most costly plays of the season. So that was unfortunate.
There's also some complimentary football there where our goal going into the season was to be a defense that takes the ball away. And while it didn't really happen in Buffalo, man, there were a lot of plays where we had our hands on the ball and they were turnover worthy plays or great plays by the defense that didn't quite happen. And if any one of them did, we would have won that game. And then it doesn't matter as much where the defense is supporting this approach to really big offense with not as sustained short drives.
You know, if you want to pick one more thing, it would probably be that the read option itself is going to reduce total running back carries. Mm. So I keep hearing people saying, well, we've got to get Henry to 20 carries or 22 carries or 25 carries. First of all, 20 carries is 340 projected carries for a season. We don't even want Derrick Henry carrying the ball that much. You know, he did carry the ball over 300 times last year, which was remarkable, and he was healthy and he had one of the greatest seasons of the 21st century of any running back, but that's probably not going to be duplicatable as he moves along the aging wave and it starts to run out of some steam there. So I'd expect less of it. But just the second component of that is when you play read option football, the defense, not the offense, the defense decides who's going to carry that ball by how their edge rushers crash or try and contain Lamar. And if you don't pull that in immediately as part of it, then you don't have the full story, I'd say.
Completely agree. And honestly, if I was a defensive coordinator, and I'm not qualified to be so, looking at last year, I would crash on Derek every single time for two reasons, three reasons really. But mainly, he's not very effective if he doesn't get to the line of scrimmage with the head of steam being able to roll forward for those next 5 to 50 yards. And then the other thing is if you just make Lamar have the ball, yeah, he's effective when he doesn't have an injury or a hamstring, but then you get to hit him. And then he's also not throwing down the field for 15 to 30 yards per throw. So it just seems way more advantageous, strangely, to make Lamar keep the ball if you can on any of those option plays, hit him or live with the consequences of 8 to 10 yards of play.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. And I think that most teams have now taken that. And I think the blueprint is now out there, frankly, for doing it. It means they have to play very sound assignment football to contain Lamar play after play after play. But it is something that teams are more apt to do after the last 3 weeks of the Browns, the Lions, and the Chiefs handling Lamar fairly effectively in those games, keeping him from really blowing up anyway.
Yeah, and then even on passing plays, they're making Lamar left-handed again because a lot of our plays are schemed up not to quick pass or quick read or timing throws. It's let Lamar use his superpowers. He sees the field, and he can extend the play. So when they do this whole crash, delayed spy thing, and then he's a little bit hampered, you're taking away all of the best things that the Ravens do with both passing and running. So we're kind of seeing the results of that.
Yeah, very, very much agree with that. The spy on pass play has been very effective, and it's something I think the Lions and Chiefs really figured it out in terms of not over rushing Lamar, just using it for a pure containment purposes. So you have an extra very valuable bar you can put up in your cage rush.
Right.
It's almost like he can two gap, so you don't have an extra gap that Lamar can figure out how to escape the pocket. So it's not like he's never going to run effectively, but it is a significantly constraining factor, and it's limited some of the 8 and 9 second plays that have occurred with a pure four-man rush or even a blitz where they get after Lamar. Extra guy off the line of scrimmage as a spy has been very valuable for them.
And I think it's probably very beatable if and when Lamar comes back healthy, because I think some of the effectiveness of the last 2 weeks with this spy is that unbeknownst to us is that Lamar wasn't 100%, because when the Bills were, he was 100% against the Bills with that 70-yard run behind the line of scrimmage, making a great play. Like, he was still 100% Lamar. So it'll be interesting when they kind of scheme up some plays behind that spy for passing, but also when Lamar can actually still escape, because he's just more athletic than everyone. In the last 2 weeks, while the scheme is good, he didn't, to my eye, look more athletic than the guys who were trying to contain him.
Right. All right. Outstanding stuff, David. I appreciate you bringing this to my attention, and I think it made an interesting short. When you look at something like this, when something is said of this type, try and figure out, ask yourself the questions, why might this be true? And you'll probably come up with a number of reasons why it can be. And this is a case where I think that probably should have been done. But David, really appreciate you coming on. Tell folks where they can talk football with you online.
So I'm on X under a different name because I prefer my anonymity. My passion is to my patients, Ken, and then to the Ravens football team. So every once in a while, I'll hop on with you and have some fun.
Okay, fantastic. Other folks out there, if you'd like to be on a film study short, just like David here, just hit me up with a DM. They're always open on Twitter. And I'm looking for any kind of a good idea that is short like this, maybe can be on in 20 minutes or less, provide some other shorter content to the listeners who may crave that as well. Thanks again for listening, David. Thanks again for coming on.
Thank you, Ken.
And we'll talk to you next time on Film Study.